Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. The brightest of bargains await in the unmissable Black Friday event, in-store or online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Akugahain, Akugahain is our text number. Please, if you want to contact us, and Joe Punk RTE is the Joe at RTEPunk.ie is the very simple email from anywhere in the world. Now, the headline in Saturday morning's Irish Times is probably the starkest. Joy in jury in a civil case find McGregor raped woman in Dublin hotel. Damien runs Martin's off license in Fairview Marino in Dublin, the Marina Mart. It's actually the last sign I saw up in your shop. The off license, you were off license of the year again in 2023. Is that correct, Damien?
How you doing, Joe? Yeah, we picked up the best in Dublin 23. All right.
Okay, well done, well done. When did you decide to? You're basically saying now, no product associated with Conor McGregor will darken your door.
No, I don't particularly think it's a good idea to support him. And like the whiskey, I wouldn't rate, to be honest. I believe the beer is quite good, but it's not something I have any interest in stocking there.
And but proper number 12, which is his whiskey, has been bought by, well, a multinational, but isn't some Bushmills up in Northern Ireland have a connection with it?
So it'll be kind of young Bushmills juice is what I believe, and Conor McGregor just put his name on it, the proper number 12 whiskey. Okay. And it was sold probably last year, I think it was.
Do you think any other off-license, indeed not off-license, chains, I see in Tesco, they have a special offer on Conor McGregor's whiskey today, €25 with your club card. That's not bad value, is it, for a bottle of whiskey?
Yeah, let Tesco do what Tesco wants to do. I'll focus my own customers on my own beliefs as well. So, okay. As I say, I don't want to be supporting the likes of Conor McGregor.
I'm also, is it, like, would you be in difficulties with the distributor? If you say to a distributor, I'm not taking your forged Irish stout and I'm not taking your proper 12, whatever it's called, will they say, well, then we're not going to deliver anything to you? Do you follow me?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I suppose we're in a luxury where we are an independent family-run business, so we get to decide what we can stock ourselves. Like, there are plenty of other very good stouts out there from smaller Irish producers that have preferred to stock and support. Like, we've been long trying to support the Irish craft beer industry, and long may that continue. I just think people that are trying to do things right are more deserving of our support.
And I know you've great admiration, you say here, for Nikita Hand, the young woman involved. Martin, do you get anyone coming in looking for Conor McGregor's products?
The odd time you get one or two people coming in. Like, you used to get people coming in when he was fighting, the night of a fight, you get people coming in looking for the whiskey. I don't think he's fought now in a good few years, so that's obviously all gone. You'd still get it from time to time. But
Damien did come in on the night of a fight looking for a bottle of Conor McGregor's whiskey.
Yeah, I think a couple of years ago when he was quite popular. People come in and try and get the whiskey for the night of the fight, whatever reasons, I'm not too sure, but that's what they used to do. You don't get the same requests anymore. Like, you picks that up possibly in the multiples. I'm not too sure. As you say, it's in Tesco and special offer. It's another thing I probably can't compete with price, but regardless,
well,
I think
off licenses, Damien, that I looked up this morning, some of the McGregor was £39.99 as whiskey, but as I say, you can get it for £25 on special in Tesco.
Yeah, it's another fight. Independence off licenses are constantly having, as always, that price war where we can't match from time to time, so we have to give them other niche products that we can happily stand above and know that the quality behind the product is there, and also that you're supporting a smaller independent, generally family-run business, that you are trying to support as much as you possibly can.
Okay, 0818 715 815 joe at rte.ie, or 51551. But Damien, what about the argument? If you start making judgments about products, especially in the alcohol world, you might have empty shelves. You know, in that, in the sense that alcohol, as you know, obviously carries warnings. Alcohol companies do come in for criticism from time to time about advertising, the whole shadow advertising, shadow marketing with the 00. What do you think of that argument, or is this just for you a step too far?
Yeah, I kind of take that on board. It's at the end of the day, it's your own beliefs. It's the people that you're trying to support. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be plenty of products on the shelf. We are, as I say, a family-run business, and we try and kind of selectively pick our products that we can know that we're supporting and the quality you're standing behind.
Okay. You don't expect any backlash?
We haven't stocked it before, so it's not something that because this court case came out that we're starting, we're taking it off.
But you've had a stout in, apparently. You said that was a little better. Well, it's all a matter of taste.
We reluctantly took on the stout there. I think it was like that. We get a few customers coming in for special requests, and if we can support it, if we can help out the customer in any way, we will try our best to source a product for them.
But I know you had Connor's Forge, wherever it's called, last Christmas. If someone came in to you now and said, will you get me 3 cases of McGregor's Forge Stout for Christmas, you'd say no.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, so it can't be clearer than that.
Yeah.
Can't be clearer than that.
He's enough money. As I say, I prefer to support the likes of Teeling, for Cullen.
All the various Irish brands.
There's plenty of Irish brands out there that are worth supporting.
Yeah, okay. Okay, it's Martin's off licence there. And how are you, by the way, Martin, how did you keep going with all the road rules for the last 3 years? What an aside.
It's been a massive struggle, all right. It's been heartache. You're coming in, it's every customer you're talking to, it's the same conversation time and time again.
Okay.
It's quite depressing, but thankfully we're open now again.
Apparently the official opening is this Thursday.
This Thursday, so Fairview is back open.
And the Taoiseach is cutting the ribbon.
Yeah, it's brilliant. How the project was all managed is another question.
Okay.
Probably another day for another lifeline, but okay. At the moment, we're open.
Fair play.
Fairview Marino is back open.
I don't know how anyone on that stretch from First Class Cleaners and the Conway, they moved into Edges, which is a great move, to Brady's Butchers, to the Jewellers, all the way up to you and the Spar. I don't know how you kept going because you couldn't park. And if you did get out of your car or indeed you got off a bus, you had to negotiate a SAS training course to get through front door.
I'm sure
it was worth it in the end. Okay, Damien from Martin's Off Licence in Marino Mart, officially called in Fairview in Dublin. Thanks a million. Joe at rt.ie, 51551 is the
text. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Well, as you heard again this morning, within 2 hours, the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, and the Taoiseach, Simon Harris, both in this building, reiterated, because in fairness, it is in their manifesto, and I said that a number of weeks ago, because we began on day one when the election was called, as Simon Harris was driving to Áras an Uachtaráin. The issue that dominated Lifeline for the first 4 days was carer's allowance and the means test for carer's allowance, and the fact also that it was taxed. But the Fianna Fáil manifesto, the Fine Gael manifesto, and indeed the Sinn Féin manifesto, that's just the three who are at 20% each. Let's leave it at that for the time being. All three say categorically by the end of the next, now there's different timings obviously, between immediately and before the end of the next government's term, but that the means test for carers will be abolished. Alan is in Kerry. Alan, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe.
Good. What's your situation, Alan, please?
I'm in a bit of a quandary, more than a quandary.
Okay.
Stressed to the max with my partner. Basically, to summarise it, she's she got out of hospital. She's got an underlying condition.
Okay.
It's a rare congenital condition that she was diagnosed with in the year 2000. It's called Eisenmenger syndrome. And she needs treatment from the Mater Hospital on an ongoing basis.
Okay.
So her condition took a turn for the worst around July. And I've been seeing her for about 10 years now. And, you know, she got an apartment from a housing authority, a ground floor apartment.
Okay.
And with the help of friends and neighbours, she was able to support herself. But she's gotten, you know, her health took a turn for the worst. So she advised when she was let out of the Mater Hospital that she needs to get, she needs to have full-time attendance.
Okay, full-time care. Yeah, someone with her all the time, yeah.
Because she's limited mobility and she's, she everyday tasks, she's finding it harder and harder. So I'm from Cork, but I renovated a house here in Kerry, and it's about an hour's drive from where her apartment
okay.
is. So I asked her, she was advised that she needs somebody with her at all times. So I asked her to move in here, so she moved in September. And basically, she moved in here in September, and basically, when she moved in, she was told to let the disability section know, a change of circumstances, mm-hmm. which she did. So she sent an email off to the disability section stating her changes of circumstances. So she got a letter back, you know, saying that they wanted all my bank statements, my pay slips, all her incomings and outgoings. So I'm completely new to this. I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
So I complied with it and sent off all my details. So she got another letter back fairly promptly saying she was going to be cut off from her disability allowance on the 13th of November, which she was. And so basically that was her only means of income. Now I'm on a fairly modest salary here.
Yeah.
And they were going by my means testing. So they made out that I was €61 over in my means testing, above and beyond the means testing, €61 a week. So given that, they took away her disability allowance, the whole €232, also her free travel pass. So they expect me now to look after her fully take full responsibility for her. But basically, we're under pressure here because I didn't expect this to happen. That, you know, she moved here. She had to move here to no fault of her own because she can't do things for herself any longer. And I'm looking after her as a partner. So I'm watching out for her. So she had to, but I feel like it's a punishment now on top of it that, what I'm looking after her and we're being financially punished for it. When I'm fighting full time, I'm trying to do it. I got the go ahead, a request from work. Can I work remotely? Because I was up to that point, I was doing hybrid work, and they know my situation. So I'm working fully remotely, and, I'm able to look after her in between calls. Sorry, I'm on calls all day, but I'm able to, she needs me. I'm only a stone's throw away. But I'm doing all the household chores here for her. And, this leaves us to the,
And even if you applied for the carer's allowance under the current umbrella, even if your partner applied for the carer's allowance for you, under the current umbrella, you wouldn't get it if you failed the means test for the disability allowance, which means your partner lost her disability allowance lock, stock and barrel.
Yeah.
It's gone.
And
everything that goes with it. The disability allowance, as we know, is also a gateway payment. You get free travel and various other things as well. So once the disability allowance goes, all those other, the free travel goes with it as well, gone.
The whole lot, because we were going up and down the matter for the last number of years.
Sake.
And, we were relying on that. But now to our limited mobility, if she has to attend the matter, I'll have to drive up, bring her up myself. But on top of that, we were in touch with a social worker.
Okay.
And we stated our situation. The social worker told us that if I, you know, because I've been working so long, I've worked with the same company for the last 13 years, so my plan is to hopefully try and get on to carer's benefit, if I be allowed, and carry on function. But the social worker told us that she might even be means tested.
Well, you will be. Each of the three main political parties have said quite categorically they're going to get rid of the means test for carer's allowance. And just to explain to listeners who weren't listening in the last month or so, and indeed it's come up numerous times, if you apply for, if you're a husband and wife, father and daughter, mother and son, brother and brother, and you apply for the carer's allowance because one of you needs and is deemed to need by a medic, it needs full-time care. If you apply for a carer's allowance, the first thing you're asked is not what your income is, what is your income and any other money coming into the house. And then they assess that money coming into the house and they decide either, which just happens in the majority of cases, you're not entitled to any carer's allowance because of the money coming into the house, or else you're entitled to a portion of it or whatever. The other thing that happened as well is when you hit 66, if you were a carer, when you hit 66, your carer's allowance, which is mean tested anyway, is automatically just cut in half. And also, when you hit 66, if you get the state pension, which most people are entitled to and paid into over many years, that's included as part of your means. And then you could, the whole thing, your part carer's allowance, if you're lucky enough to get it, and your state pension are added together, and then that's taxed. So
I mean, I've been working consistently with the same company for the last 13 years, and I've been paying a lot of tax. So I don't get it just because, you know, maybe I'm missing something here, but because I'm €61 per week over, according to their calculations, could they not just accordingly reduce her care, you know, her disability down by the equivalent amount or even cut in half, but not be so draconian and take the whole lot? Because they've passed the whole responsibility over to me. And I'm not on big money at all. I'm not in great money. So, I mean, it just doesn't seem fair. Instead, do they want her to just go into full-time care where the state can look after her? I mean, they should be giving them some leeway here that, you know, that we can... It's bad enough that she's got a major health problem without being put under financial strain on top of it.
And the disability allowance is paid to your partner, directly to her. It's her payment. But she's discovered that because you stepped in to help, and it was either you move up to Cork, I presume, or she moves down to Kerry, but either way, it was a solution to the problem. Because you stepped in, she lost her disability allowance.
Yeah.
In total. And is there, by the way, the three main manifestos, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and Sinn Féin, they all talk about the disability allowance and changing it, but none of them talk. Again, the means test is mentioned, and that's why I think the carer's means test and the commitment reiterated, and it was thanks to Charlotte Fallon on Charlotte of Cantork on Friday night that catapulted this thing, because she didn't just mention the Section 39, which she works for an agency looking a carer, caring agency, but they don't get paid anything like what HSE carers get paid, who are in the employ of the state, so to speak. And they've been campaigning on this programme and others for many years about that awful discrepancy. But she also made the point, Simon Harris said it, she made the point to him about the means test for the carer's allowance. And he said, we're going to abolish it. So now it is in concrete. I know it was in their manifestos, but each manifesto was 180 pages. But it's now in concrete in the three main manifestos, so there will be a monitoring operation. But once, I think, the means test for the carer's allowance goes, they'll have to look at every other means test. Because, first of all, Alan, how much will it cost the state to actually assess all your paperwork? And everyone else is out there. And they'll have to do it again in a year because it changes if your circumstances change.
It should be on a sliding scale, you know, means testing. It can't be just black and white to make it so easy for the public service so that, you know, that they can't, you know, that's like too much paperwork for them. I mean, I'm aware of another case where a lady was over by €4 a week.
Yeah.
And her partner was struck off disability. But, I mean, they have to go on a case-by-case basis.
And Alan,
they can't
I can
have this blanket rule.
Well, Alan, I give you... Well, the whole thing about the means test anyway. We had cases here. We did carers, I think, about 6 months ago, and then it came up for the election, where one of our callers, after the means test, was offered... And by the way, I think she was looking after two of her children who needed full-time care. She was offered a fiver a week.
Which that's an insult.
It isn't. That's the exact words. Because it was means tested. Now, the government are saying, and they've said it this morning in the series of interviews, next week, because of the cost of living, next week is a double children's allowance. And that applies to everyone. That's a universal payment, as you know. And I know there's extra for carers as well next week. Sorry, get that in. I will get that in. But the carers is still an anomaly in that it is means tested. And the whole idea of, like, you're either entitled to a disability allowance or you're not.
Yeah, I mean,
When your partner moved into your house, and this is going to sound as if I'm being funny or facetious, Alan. When your partner stepped over the threshold or was wheeled over the threshold of your house in Kerry, did her disability disappear? No. But her disability allowance did.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, she's not lazy. She was working in a fashion for a long time, teaching at a college, handcraft. So, if she could go out and work there, she would go out and work full time. She would. She's not lazy. But just because she can't work, it doesn't mean that, you know, she's on a minimum. She just wants to get enough money to have bare essentials, you know, the household items. I mean, she has to live as well. I mean, they're not factoring that into the cost of living.
So all they when she came over the threshold of your house, so the arrangement for her is a lot less harder. The word easy should never enter this conversation. It's not easy. A lot less harder. Alan, what did the state ask of you? What documentation did they want?
I had to give my last piece, three pay slips, and you know, on my bank statements. My loans, I have minimal savings because I'm up to my neck over trying to get this house finished.
Okay.
And they came back to me then, and with their means testing, they made out that I'm over the threshold by €61. So I sent them back. I explained that I'm in full-time sales, and, you know, depending on the
commission,
time of
yeah.
year,
okay, yeah,
my
yeah.
wages can go up and down. It's not, you know, I'm not guaranteed the same amount because the last 3 months, the pay slips I provided from the last 3 months, it was quite busy, and, you know, I made more than I usually would compared to other parts of the year. So I gave them the last 10 pay slips going back to January, and they came back with the same hand-typed letter from the same person with just two additional lines with the same calculation. So I don't know if they even looked at it, I've answered it, but I just feel that, you know, in my case, if I'm up by €61, I mean... That, you know, it should be a sliding scale where people, I mean, take €61 off her, maybe I'm missing something here, but why don't they take €61 off her for the disability or even cut in half, but not take away everything and take away all our benefits and our loans. Even more alarming, I've got the social worker, when she called over, she said that there's a danger that she may lose her medical card.
No,
Joe, my partner has got a life-threatening condition. Yeah. She's on state-of-the-art medication. Matter. She's getting great. I don't care what they say about this country because I know it's first.
It is great. The health service.
The medical care in this country is first class. But she's on state-of-the-art medication, and she's the use of an oxygen machine. She's being provided with a wheelchair by the HSE because with her condition, it's a progressive condition. It is what it is. I took it on board. I'll say, you know. When I met her to start, I didn't think how grave the situation is. But the social work said she might lose her medical card. No, she hasn't slept since she was told that by the social worker. She's a fragile disposition, and I'm worried about her physical and mental health, what they're doing to her.
Awful.
If she loses her medical card, she'll die. It's as simple as that.
Stay with us, Alan. 51551. Francis Ryan is in Enniscorthy. Francis, what's your situation? How are you, Francis? What's your situation?
My situation is I'm a mother of three adult sons with disability.
Okay.
and I have little to no care at all for my sons.
And do you get the carer's allowance?
I get the carer's allowance, yes. I get, as a carer for three, I get full carers for one, I get half for the other, and I get nothing for the other.
No, no, stop, Francis.
That's carers, yeah.
As a carer for three adult sons,
yeah,
42, 26 and 28,
yeah,
after a means test, the state decided you would receive one and a half carer's allowance.
Yes, yeah.
Full time for one, half for your second son and nothing for the third.
And nothing for the other, no.
Do they get to any day centres or?
I have no day service. They have no day service. I get 2 days from 10 to 5 on a Wednesday and a Thursday at the moment.
Yeah.
I am after that. We have no support whatsoever.
Do you get any home help from the HSE?
No, that's just the 2 days.
Oh, the 2 days. That's the HSE. Okay.
That's it. Yeah.
And what's, so the ages of your three boys are 42, 36 and 28. Is that correct?
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Can I use their first names?
Yeah, there's okay. Bobby, there's Ben and there's Corey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bobby, Ben and Corey. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, who's in the house with them, Francis, most of the time?
Myself.
For three... It sounds like they are fairly, like, okay, go through your day. What time? I presume when one wakes, you've got to be up or get up.
Well, my day starts at 6 o'clock every morning.
Yeah.
Every morning, yeah. They have to be showered. The three of them have to be showered.
And you do that?
Every day.
Okay,
Yeah.
And then?
Basically, they need 24-hour care.
Yeah. And you have to feed them.
I have to make food for them. I have to feed them, dress them, clean them. Yeah, absolutely, every day. Yeah, and somebody has to be with them 24 hours a day.
Okay. And how are you?
Look at, I have done it my whole life.
Where is your strong voice coming from?
Well, look at, my sons are absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, and naturally enough, like any mother, they're the world to me. But I do absolutely feel I've always been fighting for services and everything my whole life for them, or their whole life, you know, for to get proper services or to get anything.
Why don't you get three carers allowance for three? For three people in full time.
Well,
I know, that's the system.
Told.
I know.
Yeah.
Who comes up with it? I know it's, and times are changing and there's money now that we didn't have. But this is such
a glaring
anomaly.
But I mean, there's no way that I could work anyway. I couldn't possibly work.
Of course you couldn't.
You know, other than, you know. So, I mean, I have no other way of looking after the boys. I have to be here myself most of the time because, like, from the HSE, I get very little help.
And also I'm hearing when you say three of them, the three men, they need their showers, they need washing, they need clothes, they need clothes washing. That's the cost of running your house is expensive, I suspect.
Absolutely. And like electricity, heating, they're here all day.
Yeah.
They're here 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
Okay.
And I mean, I am not allowed, I don't get anything else. I pay a big mortgage on my own.
And you get any help in terms of laundry, even?
No. No, even for showering. Like, I'd use a lot of shower gels and stuff, you know, for the boys and for the lads. And, like, there's no allowances at all.
Are they happy men? They are, are they? Happy.
They're really happy.
Happy
they're
sons
absolutely,
of a great
they're
mother.
They're absolutely great. No, they're absolutely great. They're, That's the one thing I have to say. They are brilliant. But the three of them are totally different.
Are they?
They're different. Yeah, totally different personalities. They're huge, big fellas, the three of them.
Okay. Yeah. So Bobby at 42, what's his hobby, or how does he...
Well, Bobby is more profound now. And
oh, is he? Okay.
It wouldn't be as good.
Okay.
He's all excited about Santy.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant.
Christmas, they love, they literally, like, Santy is coming, and yeah.
And Ben, the 36-year-old.
Ben is all into the Spice Girls.
Okay.
He has brilliant. Always loved the
brilliant.
Spice Girls.
Brilliant,
yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And Corey?
Corey loves sport. He loves looking at sport.
Okay.
The problem is, like, he doesn't get to go see sport.
Of course, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, or to
Have you any transport, Francis?
Look, I have an old Jeep. But, yeah, and even at that, it's hard to fit him into it. You know, they're huge, big fellas.
And
it's hard to bring him myself.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
And is there anything that Bobby likes that Ben doesn't like that Corey loves? Do you follow me?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, will they all go to the pictures with you?
No.
Okay.
And
okay.
Like Ben would love the pictures, and he'd love concerts, and he'd love stuff like that. But the other two would, no, it's too noisy.
Okay.
They don't like the noise and the crowd. Yeah.
So you have your hands full.
Yeah, well, the thing about it is, even the carer that comes in on a Wednesday and Thursday, she's not allowed to even help me bring them for a walk or even go shopping with me.
Have you been canvassed? Don't mention political parties, not the way it is. We ought to mention everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
But have you been canvassed by anyone knocked on your door, Francis? Do I suspect?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I've absolutely asked them, could I please do something?
Yeah.
But look, I have asked many, you know, we have in Wexford, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I do find that, you know, we're dealing with, you know, carers and everything. I do find them, you know, it's very hard to get any help.
Yeah. Because the system is the system, we're told, and the means test is the means test, and it's all laid down there on paper, and there's no way around it. And
well, look, I was a hairdresser. I'm a qualified hairdresser, but, like, I couldn't possibly, I just don't have the time.
Yeah, of course. Have you even got the time to get your own hair done, Francis, for God's sake?
Well, this is it. At the moment, I haven't.
40?
No, absolutely.
But Bobby is 42.
Yeah.
So that's the last 42 years. I know it's joyous. And I know from what you've said to us here, you know, you wouldn't change it for anything. I know that. I hear that so often from carers, and regardless of the strain a lot of them are under, you wouldn't change it for a thing.
No.
But that's 42 years, and then Ben came along, 6 years, 8 years later. And then Corey came along, 6 or 8 years later again.
Yeah. And as I said, they're totally different. They're like, they're totally different personalities. Yeah.
Like all men.
Absolutely.
And brothers,
and I mean, to be fair, I'm very lucky. They're great, really, you know.
Okay.
They are. They're very good, really. They're quiet, you know, and I'm blessed that way, you know.
Mm. And do they all like the same food? No.
No.
No, of course.
So, like, one of them don't eat meat, and the other loves meat, and, you know, no, definitely not. They're totally different.
So in terms of a daycare centre, what would that mean, the difference that would make if we could get
them? Sure, it'd make, for their lives, it'd make, and mine, like, the thing about it is they would go to day service about 9:30 and
they'd
come home about 3 or 4 o'clock. Yeah, it'd make enormous difference for their life. And they're very sociable. So they love meeting people.
And did they have a daycare facility? Did they have...
Two of mine had for a while.
Okay.
The two oldest. And Corey was never... From the time Corey finished St. Patrick's Special School in Enniscorthy, the three of mine went to St. Patrick's School in Enniscorthy.
Okay.
And I have to say, St. Patrick's School was fantastic.
Great.
But Corey never was offered any kind of day service or anything from the time he was 18, and he's 28 now.
And is there any prospect?
Well, sure, look at it. I'm trying.
You're fighting, you're campaigning,
absolutely. And it seems to be much worse since I'm on my own. Believe it or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we have a short, because obviously we've been on to the HSE, as you have. Got it, you don't need
yeah.
it. On the grounds of confidentiality and with regard to the Data Protection Act, the HSE does not discuss individual cases. That's one. The HSE would, however, like to assure Liveline that it is aware of the matter raised in your query, i.e. your query, Francis, and is working towards a resolution.
For anyway. 3 years. Yeah.
Well, there's 3 days, 4 days to the election, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, at the thing about it is, I suppose, as well, they played on the fact that I was a very private person.
Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, look, at I suppose the thing about it is, I was always, I suppose I would be very positive, really, in a way.
You sounded, yeah.
Yeah, and when they were young, I was always very, look, at we'll do it ourselves and we'll do, you know. And then as they got older, naturally enough, we got older, and like I sort of asked for more help, naturally enough,
yeah,
and for a future to be put in place for them as we were getting older. And it was less we got, let's put it that way.
And you know, once you hit pension age, your carer's allowance, 1.5 for 3 sons.
Yeah.
Once you hit pension age, I don't know how long, far away that is, your carer's allowance will be cut in half again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you'll go from 1.5 to 3/4.
3/4, yeah.
Of one.
And the thing about it is, I'm sure I'm not the only person out there, but I have never heard anyone saying that on carers, if you have more than one
child
with disability, like, you just get full for one, half for the other, and not a thing for the other.
Well,
they don't exist.
Okay, stay with us, Francis, because Serena McGurran is in Cavan. Serena, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
I'm good, but you completely recognise what Francis is saying, because you've 2 children, as you say here, 2 autistic children, 7 and 3, and another child with additional needs. It's the same frame for you. You don't get a carer's allowance for each child, even after means testing.
No, no, you don't. And nothing's ever taken into consideration, like the way you're paying for services, and you have to outsource these services privately. But none of that stuff is ever taken into consideration when it comes to the carer's allowance. And they make you feel like you're applying and trying to get stuff you're not entitled to, like the debt that to go into.
Mm-hmm.
When looking through your income, everything.
Yeah.
And like, you have nothing to hide, but they just make you feel like they just go through everything with such a fine-tooth comb, as if you have something to hide.
Just something to hide. And as I said a few weeks ago, like, the means test, what they think you have a yacht in your driveway if you're lucky enough to have a drive. What do they think? What would they think someone like Francis, Serena, would they make up stuff to get help for? Would they tell lies? No, they wouldn't. It's not in them. But why is the means test so stringent and exhaustive?
It's the same with domiciliary care. It's the same. You have to have the process of, like, as well, for to get carer's allowance for a child, you have to be awarded domiciliary care.
Yeah.
And it's the exact same process. I'm now starting an appeal for my child, because they're saying that his needs don't meet what the needs are, but yes, they do. It's such a struggle every day. And he needs OT, he needs speech and language, which he's not getting either. So it's like, where do you go? It's like you're banging your head against the wall.
Yeah.
And it's like, the budget came out and you get the means going up to $1,250.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like anything they're taking off you is taken off you straight away. But anything they're giving to you is July next year.
Yeah.
And again, with that,
well, then,
nothing
as I say,
is taken into consideration.
I know it was in their manifestos in one shape or another, but the 3 leaders now that are all on 20%, the 20%ers, so to speak, Micheál, Simon and Mary Lou, they're all saying categorically the means test for carer's allowance will be gone.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think when you hear that, Serena?
But when? It's all well and good saying this stuff, but when is it going to happen? Because you're promised the sun, moon and stars when you're talking to them, but then you're shrugged off and you don't hear back, or they're promising you everything and just nothing changes. Like, our children are being left behind. My eldest is 7. He was diagnosed 4 years ago, and his last appointment was 3.5 years ago.
Oh my God.
My youngest was diagnosed in April, and we have been informed that he's not even active on their books. So it's getting worse than getting better.
And when you used the phrase earlier, Serena, about outsourcing, you mean speech and language, occupation. You've got to try and find them yourself, have you?
And speech and language therapy isn't available in Cavan at the minute privately either, because there's just not the staff there.
Yeah.
And the likes of trying to outsource it, then you're paying crazy money. And we have 3 children to do that for. So when we add that up, it's the guts of 450 to 500 euro a week.
Wow.
So where is that money meant to come from? I'm told I can't work any more than 6 hours a week before my carer's allowance starts to get cut. But again, they don't take the cost into consideration.
Because of the means test, again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if there's anyone else earning in the house,
that's
that's taken into account as well.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
As if you don't.
I've worked since I was 14. I had my first job when I was 14. I've always worked. My husband has worked since he left school. But it goes to the point of then we're paying outsourcing all these things. Yeah. We'll never own our own home either.
And Serena, when did you discover that, you did the means test for the carer's allowance. It is very strict. You were lucky in that sense. To actually get through it. You did get through it and got some payment. But when did you discover, actually, you don't get the same payment for every child? You actually get, the first child gets the full payment as designated in the paperwork. But because you have a second and a third child, the second child gets half and the third child gets zero.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're doing the same for each child, but as it goes on, they have the same needs, but you're not entitled to the same for each child.
So you're saying in the commitment all the political parties have made to the carer's allowance, and hopefully now that Charlotte from Cantorque is, and the thing that it didn't surprise me, because every person we've had on here about carers, whether they were a carer in the home or Section 39, which is a group of all these different agencies that look after, run these day centres, but they're not treated the same way as HSE employees doing the exact same work and they get significantly less pay. Every time one of them's come on, it's just compassion and passion. And it's no wonder that Charlotte was crying in that supermarket in Cantorque.
It's like all this stuff is being said, but nothing is being done.
Okay, well then,
nothing has changed.
Okay, well let's hope, given that, as I say, within 2 hours this morning, the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach, both at the start of 2 interviews, both of them reiterated, they would say in their case, what was in their manifesto, and that is that the means test would be gone ASAP for carers. So we wait and see.
We will.
Serena, mind yourself, please.
Thank you very much,
Serena. And Francis, can I ask you the same question? Serena, do you get any time to yourself? It's coming up to Christmas, and do you get
a night out with
your buddies, Serena?
There's nothing. Only for our family.
Yeah.
We have nothing.
Francis, would you have a night? What a simple thing to ask. Francis, do you get time for yourself?
No, absolutely not at the moment. No.
You can't go out for a meal or drink with buddies or play bridge or.
No, absolutely not. No.
Okay. Francis, thanks indeed, and.
Thank you.
I'm so
thank
glad you. It's Christmas is coming. Bobby knows that, doesn't he?
Bobby will be happy, yeah.
Yeah, Bobby, well done, Bobby. Christmas. Yeah. Today, Bobby, is November 25th. That means Santa is here in less than a month on December 24th.
Our house is always the first to have the Christmas tree and the decorations up.
Brilliant, brilliant. And Ben and Corey, you say hello to them. And Serena to your wonderful children and both of your extended family. Joe at RT and Alan.
Thanks, Sean, still there.
Your mom, would you
keep
in touch, Alan?
Thank
please
you
do.
Very
thank
much.
You, Serena. Thanks, thank you, Francis. Thank you, Alan. Kind regards to your care. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Rachel, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
They've said it clearly. Well, they've said it in a manner, but they say it clearly and categorically on national radio. Means test for carers allowance will be gone.
Yes.
What do you think?
Well, I think it's just in the context of a failed referendum. So the 40th Amendment on family care just basically failed. So all the political parties now are trying to kind of use this as a stop.
But they said it's not far. Well, it's, nothing is in concrete in the world we live in, especially with Trump coming down the line. But they said it categorically. You were a carer for 2 years for your mother?
No, I was carer for my partner for 2 years.
Okay.
And then I'm looking after my mother some of the time, and she's 93.
And what help do you get?
Well, I have my own resources, so I don't actually go to the state for help.
Okay.
But when I look for things for my mother, they're not actually available. So people will come in from the HSE and do assessments, and they'll offer to check in and do specific things.
The home help,
but they won't do things like, well, she's in a very remote house, and there are a lot of cobwebs, and they won't come along and do the cobwebbing, or they won't go along with the Hoover. They won't clean her kitchen. And even if she wants to pay for it, it's very hard to get somebody to do that.
Okay.
Because she's in a remote area of the countryside. And the other problem is rural transport.
Yeah.
There aren't even that many taxis available in the countryside. So these are the things the HSE needs to be aware of. They need to be talking to people on the ground who need help and asking them what they need. €248 would not go far for some taxis and some cleaning in a house. And that's before you even start helping somebody.
Now, Local Link, in fairness to the Greens, Local Link has improved, hasn't it, dramatically? That's what I hear.
Well, not in some of the areas of Ireland that I know about.
Okay. Stay with us, Rachel. Helen Murphy. Helen, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
You got carers allowance.
Yeah, I had carers allowance for the last 7 years, I'd say. And my husband passed away a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, gosh.
So I did the right thing and I got on to carers and cancelled it. And then applied for widow's pension.
Yes,
because I would have paid enough stamps in.
Yeah.
So on the form that you fill in.
And also, you are a widow.
Yes, yeah, I am a widow.
A survivor,
Yeah. But on the form that you fill in, there's a section on living alone allowance.
Okay.
And you have to be 66 and over to be entitled to the living alone. So I'm under 66. So it's just, again, it's kind of an injustice, really, do you know? And again, it hasn't been highlighted. So I just think it was something that needed to be highlighted.
So in fairness, you rang, even though you're grieving, you rang soon after your husband died to say...
So I rang and cancelled my carers and that was fine.
Yeah.
Now, I don't have the information right in front of me.
No worries.
But one of the things, when you lose carers, you probably lose a lot. Packages or financially, if you like. So you're not only have you lost the person you love, but you also lose a lot of allowances.
Yeah.
So when you lose the carers, well, I think one of the things that can happen is that you will lose your travel.
Oh gosh.
Again.
Yeah.
Again, that's on a letter that I would have got, but I haven't it with me. But one of the things they would have said that you could return the travel pass.
Oh,
that was one thing. And then the other thing is if you are able to apply for the widow's pension, state pension, if you're under 66, you're not entitled to a living alone allowance, which might pay a bill. You know,
of course it would. And you are, by the way, you are living alone. Your partner, your husband has just died.
Yes, yeah. So it was just something I said I'd highlight.
The principle of it.
I'm sure there are other people in the same position.
Well, you heard
they're living alone in Allen. Yeah.
When you heard that wonderful man earlier on, Alan, his partner had a disability now. She needs care. She was living in Cork, he was living in Kerry. So he decided to do a good bit of work in his house and she would move in with him. The minute she crossed the threshold, and remember, she has a disability and she wasn't doing backflips across the threshold because she's not mobile. But the minute, in other words, her disability didn't disappear. The minute she crossed his threshold, she lost her disability allowance.
Yeah.
Now, how cruel is that?
Yeah. There's a lot of things that...
And he also said, I want to chime with something you're saying, Helen, that Alan said. He said, because she had a disability allowance, they had the free travel. He said, we didn't use it a lot, but what we did use it primarily for was to get from Cork or Limerick to Kerry to Dublin to the Mater.
Yes.
So you can imagine now the cost of, they didn't use it a lot, they didn't definitely uh-huh. didn't abuse it, they didn't, but the cost of a train journey from Kerry or Cork to Dublin and back for two people uh-huh. is not insignificant to say the least. And you're the same, you've because the carer's allowance at that little gateway for travel, that's gone as well.
Yes. Okay. So there's a lot of things. The other thing that can be questioned as well, again, when you're on carers and looking after a person, you can be entitled to a medical card. But the minute that person passes away, that also comes into question. So, again, that's means tested. So if your means now is above whatever it is, I'm not even sure. So when you're a carer and the person that you love passes away, then you're kind of hit with a kind of a tsunami, if you like.
Yeah.
Just things coming at you that are kind of deductions. And it's not even around the money. It's just the unfairness of it all. I think it's not even around...
And the blow. Helen, how recently were you widowed?
Six weeks? Six weeks yesterday. So it's just the living alone one, it kind of really gets to me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we say if I had a sister of 66 was on her own, and was able to get the pension, well, she'd have her living alone. But me next door, because I'm under 66, I can't get it. So it's more the principle. It might be 100 a month. I'm not even sure what it is. But, yeah, I just think. And then also the travel, because, again, on principle, I think that's wrong. Absolutely. You know, so, yeah. So.
Helen, did your husband pass unexpectedly, or...? Do you mind me asking?
He hasn't been well really since the summer. We kept hoping he'd make a recovery, but he didn't.
That is unexected from the summer.
Yes.
So in other words, you had to not only have you got to cope with the grief, you also get hit with. You're punch drunk from the. Okay, you immediately got on the case and told the state, I'm not entitled to carer's allowance anymore, and they took that away immediately. You're obviously entitled to widows, and then you got a letter saying you lose other things as well. Okay,
yeah,
Helen, you are right.
Like the carers is great, but you do look after the person.
Of course.
But once they pass, then you are hit with, I suppose, the reduction in your income, really.
Yeah. You are hit with the grief and everything that entails from going. From living with somebody to living on your own and everything that comes with that, doing all the paperwork that you have to do, the debt search,
all that
carry on, which can be unending, as you know. And then immediately you're hit by the way, you lost this, that and the other before from the state because your husband has passed. Talk about being punch drunk.
Yeah, there's something just seriously wrong. And like I know... are kind of, you know, means tested and, you know, income. And if you have an income over a certain level, you're not entitled to certain things. But I think the travel one, I think, should definitely not be affected. And the living alone, I think, should be for people who are widowed or lose their partner. Do you know, if you're able to get the widowed pension, that should be included. But at the moment, it isn't. So, that's...
Okay. Helen, condolences on your husband was called.
Thank you so much.
Robert, condolences on Robert's passing and look thank after yourself. Keep in touch. That's Helen Murphy, Joe at rt.ie, 51551 is the text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe at rt.ie. This is not directly related now. This is not a government issue or an election issue, but it's another extraordinarily difficult situation. Patricia Keane. Patricia, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
I'm okay, but how are you? And people will realise immediately.
I'm bearing up, Joe, but just about. I have had no height to lift me out of bed. The last time I was out of bed, Joe, was last Wednesday. And since then, I have been confined to bed fully.
And what has happened, Patricia?
My hoist, a central part of my hoist has broken. And it has taken this long. They say they have a part ordered. Mm-hmm. But just before I came on air to you, I had a phone call from the head OT, the boss of the occupation therapist, to say that they're exploring other options. Now, whatever other options will mean for me, Joe, I don't know, because it's a special hoist that I need for my body to get out of bed.
And why are you confined to bed, Patricia? And why do you need this heist? It's so important to you.
I'm sorry, Joe. From birth, I was born with cerebral palsy, and I'm also quadriplegia. So, which leaves me totally dependent on two carers and a hoist to lift me. The rules are now, if you're disabled, you must have two carers to lift.
And is yours, how long have you needed that hoist, Patricia?
It's a very old hoist I got her when she was secondhand. And I've needed it now, I'm going to say, since Wednesday last, but even before that, the part was starting to show signs of going.
And how long has that hoist been attached to your bed? And you would
approximately, Joe, I would say 11 years.
Okay.
Maybe less.
And has it ever broken before, Patricia?
Yes, it has. Okay. Yes, and the part seemed to come quicker for the hoist. At that time, but this is the main lifting component, Joe, for a body.
And the difference the hoist would make, Patricia, describe. Do you mind if you don't mind if it's not? Describe your position at the minute.
There's push along hoist, Joe, that you can push along.
Yes.
But my body, my legs are fixed by surgery, so they don't bend and they won't go either side of that hoist. There's a bar blocking, so they won't go either side of the hoist. My hoist is clear, leg clear, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it is just like, you know, up in the Swiss Alps, Joe, have you ever been to the Swiss Alps?
No.
The hoist I have is called a gantry. It's something similar to the purpose of they use in the Swiss Alps.
Okay.
It lifts you clear and up high.
Okay, so we see it on telly. When you're in your skis and you're going up to the top of the, what do they call it, the piece or whatever, you kind of stand there and this kind of T-bar comes along, isn't
it? No, I'm sitting in a sling.
Okay.
In a sling called the hammock.
The hammock, okay.
It's called a hammock sling because of my quadriplegia. I can't weight bear at all, Joe.
And Patricia, can you sit up in bed?
I can sit up in bed, but very uncomfortably with a remote control. It's a hospital bed, Joe,
effectively. Yeah.
And I can sit up in bed, but I'm finding it difficult to eat, and because I'm not directly over my diaphragm. I'm 65, Joe, now, and I choose to live alone, Joe.
Okay.
Because of family breakdown.
Okay.
Which
these
I won't
happen.
Go
yeah,
into, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
And I choose to live alone.
Okay.
And we have the right to live alone once we're given the right tools to live.
And how do you... Is this the longest duration
you've been... I was confined to bed last year for a lack of a cushion, a pressure cushion. Because my bottom is suffering with pressure.
Yes, pressure sores.
So it took a number of months to get a pressure cushion that's now not suiting me either, Joe. As I get older, I'm shrinking. So the more pressure I put on the cushion from my bottom, the more pressure there is back to my coccyx area.
Yeah. And you're obviously in discomfort, Patricia. Are you in pain?
I'm not in pain, Joe, but it's indignifying.
Yeah.
I can't go to the toilet and I can't have a shower and have my hair washed. Those type of things. I can't... evacuate my bowels, Joe, because I use the hoist to be lifted into the bathroom to go to the toilet.
Yeah. And is there a name on this part that we need?
All I know is that it's the back bar on the gantry hoist. And after that, Joe, I don't know, but it holds the sling
It's critical. It's critical. Without it, it doesn't work.
It is. My chair is also broken, Joe. I don't know if your researchers said it, but I use a power chair and the headrest on that is gone. And I've heard nothing about that. It's very difficult to sit for long hours in my chair without the headrest.
Of course.
But if I could get up into my chair now, I would suffer the pain of sitting in my chair because it would mean that I'd be free to move around my little house.
Yeah. And Patricia, did they say, and I'm sure they're doing their best, what, they have to source the part from abroad, or has it got to be made in a metalwork?
I have no idea where they're sourcing the parts from. My problem is, Joe, and this has always been a problem, and it's been highlighted on your show today already, the HSC take too much time for turnaround for an emergency situation to solve things. And we're left... You wouldn't leave an animal, Joe, the way I've been left.
Oh, Patricia.
And that's how undignified I feel as a woman and a person, Joe. I'm due to go over to my old age pension next year.
Yeah.
And I live my life very quietly here, unassuming, and I manage on my disability allowance very well. I have no debts. I don't need to go to the social welfare to help me because I keep on top of my payments for the ESB, my rent, and everything like that.
And you're rightly so, and justly so. You are, as you say, I mean, I'm independent and I want to continue my independent life.
Yes. Joe, they often put down when you have cerebral palsy that you're not corpus mentis. I'm fully corpus mentis. And yeah, course, I can prove that because I was tested years ago and I was found to have no mental retardation with cerebral palsy. They undermine people like me all of the time, Joe, the HSE.
Okay.
As if we're insignificant.
Okay, stay on the line, Patricia. And I also realise it's difficult for you where you are, so I want to give you a little breather of 2 minutes. I'm back after this.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Patricia Keane has contacted us. She is quadriplegic, cerebral palsy from birth, and she has a hoist. She needs a hoist to lift her in and out of bed. And Patricia, is there any... if the HSE, they're looking for the part to get you out of... You've been in bed
since... They're looking for a part... Or a replacement hoist.
Okay, but even if they said it to us, we would put out a shout out for someone who can make the part. This is crazy.
I'd like you to put out a shout out, Joe, and let anybody know that I'd like to get up, Joe. I'd like to sit up in my chair. Okay. And be useful in my life again.
You are useful, Patricia. Your voice is very useful. Your voice is very powerful. And your voice is very telling. Patricia, we'll keep in touch. And thank you so much for contacting us. That's Patricia Keane. Sorry, I'm over. Again, began with carers today. And we could go on. We can't go on because of the moratorium and all that. We could go on to Friday and beyond with listening to carer stories about means testing and taxation, each individual, but each has something in common. Back tomorrow, 1:45. Annette Egan, producer, Ray Darcy is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Refresh your home with the latest colours and designs in curtains and bedding, in-store or at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.